Turn to John chapter 21. John chapter number 21. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to preach. Holy Spirit, please, I'm asking that you fill me again, use me again, anoint me again. Please, these people need something I can't give, and I know that you can use me, because you've used me in the past. I ask that you please use me again. Be with those that hear. Help them to understand. Help them to grasp a truth that you only can show them. And again, help me as I preach. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is about to show himself to his disciples for the second time. Well, technically for the third time. He's already showed himself once to them after his resurrection. And then 10 days later, he showed himself again to Thomas. And he's about to show himself to them on the Sea of Galilee. And Peter says to his other disciples, he said, I go a fishing. This is not a really new Christian. This is not somebody who is unexperienced. This is somebody who's been with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. And every question that he's ever had to ask Jesus, every single question that he's had to need counsel with, and every single burden he's had to carry, he's been able to carry it right next to Jesus Christ. I mean, this is a well-developed Christian. Sure, he's made mistakes, and sure, he's been corrected, but, I mean, this is Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. I mean, he's been called by Jesus Christ. He's been given the power to go out and preach the gospel by Jesus Christ. And here he is, right at the tail end of Jesus' ministry, right before he goes up. He's talking with Peter's talking with his other disciples, John, James, Thomas, two others, and says, I go a-fishing. I'm done with this. I don't need this in my life anymore. It was fun while it lasted, but I'm done. I don't need to be a Christian anymore. I don't need to sacrifice anymore. Honestly, I've had enough. And he says, I go a-fishing. And then the other disciples say, I go with thee. And the Bible says that that night they went into a ship and they caught nothing. It says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. It's very true words. Jesus has asked them, have you any meat? And of course, reading that scripture, when you read it, it sounds like he's just asking him, did you catch any fish? But as I was reading that passage, I think it's Jesus' way of highlighting a truth to us about doing things the right way and doing things the more rebellious and lackadaisical way that Peter was doing it. Paul mentions meat versus milk. Peter mentions meat versus milk. And up to this point, I always thought milk was the simple truths, what you learn in children's church, David and Goliath, and the names of Daniel and his friends, and who Jesus was, and where Capernaum and where the Sea of Galilee was. I thought that was the milk, sure, because it's easy to digest and understand. And then I thought that the meat was, the 70th week of Daniel and all the prophecies of the revelations and understanding the deeper truths and the deeper life teachings of your Bible. But that's not the case at all. Matter of fact, I believe milk is anything that you can learn and digest from somebody else, whether that's preaching or teaching, or whether it's something that you get from your Word of God that the Holy Spirit teaches you. Make no mistake, if you get anything out of this Word, you did not teach yourself. Somebody taught you, or the Holy Spirit taught you. And if you're like, well, I can't point to anybody specifically, then the Holy Spirit definitely taught you that. If something's highlighted in your Bible reading, that was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't you. You didn't come up with it on your own. And if it was true, you dead sure didn't come up with it on your own. You might have come up with some weird thinking on your own. You can do that all day. But if it was true, and if it was real, then it was taught to you by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has the truth and gives it to you and teaches all things and brings all things to your remembrance. But that's all milk. What's meat then? If all the teaching that we get is milk, what's the meat? The meat is taking that truth and taking that teaching and doing it for yourself. Paul wrote to those at Corinth and said, man, I want to teach you how to do these things, but you're so stuck in just not understanding the basic teachings of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to move on past the teaching and do the application, but you can't do the application if all you want to do is just sit and say, hey, give me some more milk, give me some more milk, give me some more milk. No, you got to take that milk and apply it. And Jesus, at the end of his ministry, at the end of his entire earthly ministry in front of his disciples, comes to Peter, comes to James, comes to John, comes to Thomas, comes to other disciples and says, have you any meat? Is there anything to you that's going to keep you doing this after I'm gone? Is there anything about you of substance that's going to keep you being a Christian when the times get hard and when you can't just simply run to a physical Jesus here on earth and when you can't just simply ask him in person? Is there anything that's going to keep you doing this long term? Or am I going to leave here in a couple days and you're going to turn around to your disciple, the other disciples and say, I go a fishing. Thank God I'm here now, but I really want to know, Peter, have you any meat? Do you have any substance to you at all? I hear a lot of preachers ask this question as though he's asking for productivity. And sure, he had no productivity. He had no fish in his boat. But he simply asked him, he said, do you have any meat? Do you have anything about you? Because the production, you can do that without me. I mean, that's where, ow, man, this weird tongue of mine in my mouth. I got a new tongue this weekend. It's just not working well. But anyway, this whole teaching of Peter, he found Peter fishing. That's how he made his livelihood. I mean, that's what he did. And when he found him, he said, follow me. And he said, hey, all this stuff, all of this teaching I've had enough of. I'm going to go back to what I was doing before. I'm going to go back to where I was before and what kind of lifestyle I had before because I'm done. And sure, he can produce without God, but I don't think God let that happen for a reason. And he comes to him and says, after he says, have ye any meat? They say, no. He said unto them, cast your net on the right side of the ship. It's a clear way to get back to right. It's not cast your net on the other side of the ship. He said that to him before. But he said, cast your net on the right side of the ship. Do it the right way. You've had it your way all night. You've done what you wanted to do all night long. Do it the right way. And sure enough, I'm sure doubting, he throws his net on the right side of the ship. And what happens? His net gets so full that a fisherman, not just one, but James and John and the other disciples, can't pull that net back on board. And they have to drag it to the shore. And he says right after, he says, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. That doesn't make any sense. We're talking about 25 feet. 25 feet away from where they'd been fishing all night long. And the fish are right there on the right side of the ship. Now, that doesn't happen by accident. But I think God was trying to teach them something. He said, do it the right way, and you'll find it. And he said, and they cast therefore. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, after he saw all of the benefits of doing it the right way, he said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and had cast himself into the sea. Where was this boat? Who was on this boat? We already know it was disciples on this boat. But where was this boat? It appears to me it was in a place that was easy to do wrong. And his disciples, after 3.5 years, didn't just simply leave God on the shore. And they didn't simply leave everything of Christianity. But they instead went someplace. Someplace where it was very easy to do what they had been doing. I'm sure Peter in his mind was saying, I'll just take off my coat because it's what I did before. I'll just say a couple curse words because it's what I did before. I'll just go ahead and cast it on the left side because it's what I did before. And it was very easy for Peter to find himself in a position where he could do what he wanted to do. And he could simply go where he wanted to go. And Jesus finds Peter on the Sea of Galilee, and he says, you have any meat? Or when I leave, you're just going to go back and do it again. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, sorry, I read that verse, let's go down to the next verse, in verse number 8, it says, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. But as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. And the fish laid thereon, and bread. Everything that Peter had looked for, every reason why Peter left Jesus Christ to begin with. When he got back to land, and after he had gotten his blessing from doing it the right way, he saw Jesus sitting at a fire with everything that he left Jesus to go get. And Jesus says to him, he says, come and dine. He says, you really wanted this? Well, come get it. It was right here with me. He didn't say go and dine. He said come and dine. But a lot of us think that if it's truly what we want, then it's not going to be found in Christianity. If it's truly what we want, it's not going to be found doing it the right way. We've got to make our own way. We've got to do our own thing. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come and dine. I've got it all for you. And it's sitting right here. I've got the buns toasted. I've got the fish is already cooked. All you got to do is just come and eat it. And they pull the fish to the shore. They dump them all out. And there's 153 great fish. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but that sounds a lot more than zero. And he says, you're not only going to find blessing doing it the right way, but you're going to find more blessing doing it the right way than doing it your way. But that's not the first question Jesus asks Peter. He says, have you any meat? Have you anything about you that's going to keep you doing this long term? But that's not his only question. Keep reading with me. Look at verse 11. It says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing it that it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fishes likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. He's asked Peter, Have you any meat? Do you have any ability to take what I've taught you and use it? And now he's asking him a second question, Do you love me? Do you love me more than these fish? Sorry. I'm not sure it was the friends that were there. I don't think he was talking about the other disciples because he was just willing to leave them in verse number 2. He was just willing to forsake all of his friends and go fishing. And luckily for him, he didn't have to go alone because they were just as carnal as he was and said, Yeah, we'll go along with. But he wasn't willing to stay with them. And so Peter finds himself ashore, and I'm sure eating, and he's done eating, and Jesus says, Now that you've gotten what you wanted, do you love me more than this fish? Do you love me more than just this work that you wanted to come out here and do? And you did it. Good job, Peter. Do you love me more than that? Do you love me more than all of this worldly, fleshly ideas that you came out here for? The question was not, do you love me at all? But do you love me more? The question in the Christian life is not, do you love Jesus Christ at all? If you ask a lost person, do you love Jesus? They'll say, yes, I love Jesus. But as a Christian, the one who died for you, the one who gave his life for you, the one who made it possible that you don't go to hell, he's asking you, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these stupid fish? I could have gotten you fish, Peter. I could have gotten you the money that you would have gotten from selling the fish that you were going to catch. I could have done it. But you never asked me, you never came to me, you never desired me. All you wanted were these stupid fish. Do you love me more than these? Is there anything in you, Christian, that says, you know what, God, I just want to love you? Or is it all about what you want to do? Is it all about where you want to go? Is it all about who you want to talk to? Jesus asked Simon, he said, Do you love me more than these? I've got what you're searching for. I've got what you're hungry for. I got what you left me for. Do you love me more than these? But it's not as simple as saying, I love you, Jesus. Otherwise, Jesus' answer would have been solved the first time he asked it. I do think that the reason why he asked it three times was to call to remembrance. He called back to Peter the three times that he denied Jesus Christ. And just like whenever the cock crew the third time, when Jesus asked him the third time, saying, Lovest thou me? I think Peter's heart broke. He said, You know what? You know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I denied you. But you know I love you. A friend of mine told me, he said, Do you think that Simon Peter was so caught up in his emotion by the fire, and he wept bitterly that he never truly repented. And seeing this story, yeah, I kind of agree. Because it hasn't even been a month yet since he denied Jesus Christ, and he already says, I go a fishing. And Jesus has to ask him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me more than this fish? And I think at this time he said, you know what? I do. And you know that I'm sorry. He says, well then don't just say it, but feed my sheep. If you're really of someone of substance, if you really claim to love me, if you really claim to give me your life, then give it to me so you can help somebody else. If you really want to love me, how do I love Jesus? I help his people. And you don't have to be a pastor to do it. And you don't have to be a preacher to do it. And you don't have to be a singer to do it. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. If you really love me, don't put it up on Facebook and tell everybody. Don't put it up on YouTube in a video about your daily devotions and tell everybody. Feed my sheep. If you really love me, don't backtalk to your leadership whenever they give you a task to do. Just say, you know what, this is another opportunity for me to feed God's sheep. And no, it may not be the best way that I think I should, but it's a way that I get to show Jesus how much I love him. How much do you love Jesus? Do you love him at all? That's not the question. Do you love him more? There's things in this Christian life that you will love because you're not a robot. And you're going to love work, and you should. And you're going to love your kids, and you should. And you're going to love your spouse, and you should. But do you love Jesus more? Jesus said, if any man say unto me that he loves me and wants to be my disciple, but is not willing to forsake his father and his mother, then he's lying. If you really say you love Jesus, but you're not willing to leave everything and follow, then you're lying. Jesus' first command to Peter in this story is come and dine. And after you've come and had your full, go feed somebody else. This love is not a free guarantee of happiness. But rather it comes with a command, and if you really do love me, you'll feed somebody else. You won't be so selfish in yourself that all you want to do is hoard and mine and mine and mine. And you'll rather say, thank you, Jesus, here. You can have some. It's not going to run out. I don't know why you keep hoarding it all to yourself and refusing to help others, because it's not going to run out. That 153 fish that he caught, great fish, would have run out. They're not here right now, so that means they ran out sometimes in the past 2,000 years. And I guess they probably didn't even make it 1 year. If Peter would have not come back to shore, if Peter would have not dined with Jesus, if Peter would have done it what he wanted to do and caught fish, and brought them back and brought them to the market and then gone back out, he'd have had to keep going back out to get more fish. And Jesus said, look, I'm everything that you need. Do you love me enough to ask me for it? Enough to really take advantage of me like I want you to? If you love somebody, then they can't take advantage of you. Really. I mean, they might take a lot from you, but they're not really taking advantage of you because you're giving it out of love. And Jesus said, I want you to just take it all. I want to test me, see if you can find a depth to this thing. See if when you reach down, you don't keep pulling more out. And when you pull more out, you don't have enough room for it over here. So you have to give it away. And you pull more out and you give it away. You said, come and dine. And he said, feed. These aren't the only two questions that he asks. These are not the only two questions Jesus asked Peter. He asked him again another question. Keep reading. Look on at verse number 18. It says, verily, verily, this is Jesus talking unto Peter. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying the death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Keep reading, we've got a little bit farther. Then Peter, turning about, seeth a disciple whom Jesus loved following, which was leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith unto Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter has been rebuked by Jesus Christ. He's been reminded by Jesus Christ of his denial of him. And he turns around after being full up of food, after being repented, I mean truly repented and given a task to do. He turns around and sees John, who for all the 3.5 years, has been known as the disciple who Jesus loved. It's not a bad thing. And Jesus tells Peter, he says, when you were younger when I found you, and you could have pulled those fish all day long, and you'd have found yourself doing what you wanted to do. But if you really want to follow me, when you get old, you're going to reach out your hand to put your clothes on, and somebody else is going to have to put them on for you. And when you want to go somewhere, you're not going to get to go where you want to go. Somebody else is going to carry you that way. If you really want to follow me, if you really want to feed my sheep, if you really want to come and dine, then it's not going to be a bed of roses. And he looks back to John and he says, what about him? And Jesus says to him, he says, what about him? I'm talking to you. Would you follow me? Would you give me all that you had if at the end of this thing you're old and decrepit and can't do anything? I gave my all for you. Would you be willing to give it all for me? At the end of your life, Christian, you may not find yourself at a point where you can get to hoop and holler and say, hey, I get to look back at all this that I did. But you ought to look back and say, it was all his and I gave it to him as much as I could. And you ought not look back at your friend and say, look at him. He's sleeping on a bed of roses and he's got no problems and he's got no heartaches and he's got no troubles. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if all they get is good and all you seemingly get is bad and all you seemingly get is another slap in the face and all you seem to get is just heartache and pain and trouble. Follow thou me. If all Jesus had to offer you, Brother Doggett, was just more pain and more heartache and you never got to see a good colored rainbow or the other side of the storm, and it just seemed to cloud up and rain on you every single time you woke up and you never got to see the sun again until Jesus came, would you follow God? Or is it just only when it's convenient? Only when it seems like it'll be easy, and only when you can guarantee the best outcome for yourself? And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, look, I don't care about John right now. And if I want to, if I would, because I'm God, I'll just go ahead and keep him alive until I come back for everybody else. And if he wanted to, John would still be up here. I'm sure we'd all leave where we're at to go listen to John the Beloved preach. And we'd be members of that church, wherever that is, probably in Jerusalem somewhere. And we'd be right to do so. But he said, if I wanted to, he'll be alive right now and until I come back. But what if all I have for you is just a quick life of hurt and pain? Would you still follow me? Am I enough for you? I mean, forget the gates of gold, gates of pearl and the streets of gold and the mansions. Forget being in heaven forever and ever with Jesus Christ. Forget being in a place of ruling and reigning with him in the millennium. You'll get all of that. But what if Jesus came to you and he said, I'm it. I'm your reward. This is all you're going to get. Will you follow me? Is Jesus enough for you? Or are you simply trading your reward with somebody else's? And you're looking at somebody else and you're saying, man, I'd rather have that life. Boy, that'd be good. I'd rather have the fame, and I'd rather have the money, and I'd rather have that good family that seems to always be happy. And Jesus is looking, and he says, I thought you'd just want to serve me because I was enough. I thought you'd want to give your life to me because I was enough. I thought you loved me. And I told you to feed my sheep, but all you wanted to ask is, what about them? Man, I don't want to get to that end, to where it's everything is about me. When none of it was supposed to be about me in the first place. None of it was supposed to be about you. Jesus came to you and said, are you going to follow me or not? And you said, oh, I will. Yeah, I would. Yeah. Yeah, let's follow. That sounds like a good plan. And then down the road, you started experiencing heartache. And you're like, c'est la vie, such is life. And then before long, you got to the point where you just said, man, that looks nice. This is hard. And Jesus, throughout the whole thing, looks back at you and says, I thought you said you wanted to follow me. I thought I was enough. I thought I was enough for you on Sunday like I was on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and then back again the next Sunday. I thought I was enough for the whole thing, but you just wanted to get a little piece of me and leave and feel good about yourself for a second and then leave. And I wanted you to just stay with me and follow me. If you're following somebody, you typically are pretty close by. The psalmist said over and over in Psalms that he hides himself under the shadow of his wings. And I heard a preacher say, if you want to hide yourself under somebody's shadow, it means you got to be pretty close. And sometimes you don't get the relief that you wanted and the relief that you needed because you weren't close enough to get in his shadow. All you wanted to do was what you wanted to do, and you wanted to continue to get the blessings for it. But God said, you're not going to get it your way. You're going to get it doing it the right way. And once you get it doing it the right way, you can have as much as you want. But you got to take what I give you and give it to somebody else. And while you're doing that, you can't be worried about what everybody else is going to get. And if everybody else seems to skip along with the most profitable church and the most profitable family and the most profitable bank account, are you still going to serve me regardless? You read on, the disciples missed this. They instead started making rumors about Jesus said John's going to live forever. Duh, he was saved, he's going to live forever. You're not going to die, Christian. This body might fail you. And you might leave. But you're going to live forever if you're saved. You're going to get to do whatever you get to do with Jesus forever because you're saved. But they miss it. All their focus is on is, man, John the Beloved gets to live forever. Isn't that great? Hello, you get to live forever. Isn't that great? All you get to do is serve God. Isn't that great? All you get to do is deny yourself and live for God for the rest of your life. Isn't that great? All you get to do is just live your life and pay God back for what He gave you. Isn't that great? Or do you even want it? Do you even want it? Have you any meat? Lovest thou me more than these? What is that to thee? Are you trading your reward for something else? Are you leaving God alone on the beach so you can go out into the water and do it your way? Are you leaving the one who's provided everything for you this far just because you think you could get better? God wants to spend time with you, Christian. He wants to give you everything. And no, I don't mean the sin. And no, I don't mean the evil that you can give to yourself. And no, I don't mean the worldly lust that we ought to flee. And you get to do it your way. That's not what I'm saying at all. But when you leave God and you want peace and you want joy and you want love and you want, you know, to feel included and you want to feel what you're not feeling now. Jesus said, I would have given that to you if you'd have asked me for it. Because I own it all. I'll give it all to you. You'll never have to ask me for anything that I won't give you. But we don't ask. You say, okay, I'm not getting it here. No, I didn't ask, but I know I don't want to either. I'll do it my way. Bow your head and close your eyes. Jesus, thank you so much for your son. Thank you so much for your Bible. Thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to serve you. But God, please, don't let us fall to ourselves and do what we want to do. And give us the ability to follow you forever. God, we love you. But it's not going to come for free. We've got to do it. We've got to be more than just the knowledge that we're given. We've got to do it. God, please help us. Please help me. The altar is open. You may stand.
Lord spoke to your heart. The invitation's open. Take some time to get with the Lord up here and pray and deal with how God spoke.